We're going to continue our journey into the book of Ephesians today. And just want to start with some interesting perspectives from children. Sometimes out of the mouth of babes, as I said earlier, in regards to Sophia. Patrick, age 10, says this: never trust a dog to watch over your food. Michael, age 14, says, when your dad is mad and asks you, do I look stupid? Don't answer him. Randy, age 9, says, stay away from prunes. Wonder how he wanted to figure that one out. Kyoto, age 9, said, never hold a dustbuster or vacuum and a cat in the same hand. Yeah. Lauren, age 9, says, felt tip markers don't make good lipstick. And finally, take note of this one, Logan. Age 8, Eileen says, don't try to baptize a cat. Yeah, you'll get acupuncture, I'm sure. Wonderful thoughts, some funny thoughts. Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse 11. We read these words. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's body, the body of Christ, to be built up and for works of service, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined together and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. We'll leave it there for now, as we may not get a chance to get to the other verses today. A brief review for us. Paul, in the first verse of chapter 4 of Ephesians, talks about living a life worthy of the call that we have on our lives. The Greek word for worthy is axios, and axios means balance. How do we live a more balanced spiritual life in 2020? What does that look like? Well, we talked about humility, gentleness, and patience. Humility is not thinking less of ourselves, but thinking of ourselves less. Gentleness is the action of humility. Humility is the attitude, gentleness is the action, as well as patience. I just heard someone this morning who was waiting for coffee, and I was kind of in the way. And he said, I'm working on my virtue of patience. Maybe some of us need to work on that virtue too. We were reminded last week of the one body, the one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. As Paul was writing to the Ephesians in Ephesus, there were many gods. There were many different faiths and the pantheon of gods that the Greeks worshipped, the Romans worshipped. Not many gods, but one. One body. Not many, but one body made up of many parts. There's a oneness. There's a coming together. One Spirit, the Holy Spirit. One hope of what Christ has done and will do when he comes again. One Lord, only one that we bow the knee to, Jesus Christ. One. One faith. Not multiple faiths, but one faith in Jesus Christ and in him alone. There is that unity that we have. And one baptism. So we read in historically in the New Testament, there was talk of two baptisms. The one of John, we read in the book of Acts, that some had come to certain places and there was a baptism of repentance. And then the baptism that Jesus talked about. One baptism. That we witness today. One baptism. that we believe in, that symbolizes, does not save us. The water doesn't save us. First Peter talks to us about that and compares in a very much childlike way to Noah and the ark. We read these words in 1 Peter about baptism. For Christ died for sins once for all. This is verse 18 of chapter 3 of 1 Peter. The righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit, through whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison, who disobeyed long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it, only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of good conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand, with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him. It is not water that saves, it is not baptism that saves, it is Jesus that saves. And it is what Noah went through was a symbolic foreshadow of what baptism is for us today. The old is gone, the new has come, we have one baptism. One God and Father of all, he is the one who is omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent. Those words meaning all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present, always with us. What an encouragement that is to us today, that we serve that God. And that God is not only with us, but he's within us by the power of his Holy Spirit. We read earlier on in chapter 4 of Ephesians that he is over all, through all, and in all. Wonderful. I asked the question last week, are we willing to release control to the Holy Spirit? Are we willing to work through that? We left off last week with verse 8, really. He says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. Gave gifts. And those gifts are talked about in verse 11. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. There are some in our midst today, and some that God will call and will give gifts to in these areas of leadership. God has called myself, Pastor Matt, as vocational full-time pastors. God has called Stefan as a full-time chaplain, pastor within our community, and others on our ministerial. In order to what? To prepare God's people for works of service. We are to prepare, to equip, to encourage. I shared last week about that father who had three sons, and he took them on the combine for years and years and years. But none of them wanted to combine afterwards, for whatever reason, even though they knew. When I was first pastoring in Whitewood, I got on a combine that first fall. And frankly, it was my first time on a combine. I'd seen them before, but I'd never actually ridden in one. And the fellow, after he had done a few passes and emptied things out into the grain truck, he said, "Do you want to get behind the wheel?" Me? Behind the wheel of a combine? Really? I don't think so. I didn't want to mess up at that time I think there were 250,000, maybe a little bit more, I don't know. You farmers can tell me some of the prices, maybe that's a cheap combine. So I said no, out of fear that I was just going to mess it all up, because I didn't know what I was doing. But I kept going year after year and year after year with different farmers, sitting in that little buddy seat, watching all the buttons being pushed and watching every lever and everything go. Finally, one farmer said to me a few years later, "Hey, do you want to get behind the wheel?" My heart still jumped into my throat. And this was and I knew this then, that we had a straight cut header combine, case combine, that was doing flax. And so I got, and it was a little bit an older model, so there wasn't as many bells and whistles. So it was a little easier to understand. So I got behind the wheel of this combine and did two or three passes. I did hear a little clunk once. You farmers know what that is. Picked up a stone about that big. I still have it as a memento, actually. But I was willing to overcome the fear and the intimidation of the technology, and was willing to learn, and I continued to soak in from those farmers that I could walk out. And they discipled me in combining. And no, farmers, I'm not putting my resume out there, just so you know. I'll come and ride with you, and maybe I'll drive once in a while, but not, that's, yeah, we'll leave it at that. Gifts given to equip the body. There's an old ancient Chinese proverb that says, give a man a fish, he'll eat for a day, teach a man a fish, he'll eat for a lifetime. I deeply desire, and I believe I can say this for Matt and Stefan as well, that we deeply desire to encourage you not just to be fed on Sundays or even at your small groups during the week, but every single day of your lives. To be hungry for God's Word. To be hungry each and every moment. And not to lay a whole bunch of false guilt upon you as your pastor to say, well, you've got to tick all these boxes in order to be a good Christian. There is wonderful things in spiritual disciplines, but to overcome your fear of discipleship. Sometimes that word evokes an even deeper fear in some people when you say, are you discipling, than that person asking me to drive the combine when I'd never driven a combine. There's a hunger, I sense, in each and every one of us here to know more about Jesus, to draw close to Him. Sometimes we don't know what it is. I went on that combine to be closer and to get to know that farmer better. And it is my desire, and I believe it's God's desire, He's called me to be a pastor to equip each and every one of you in order to feed yourselves and feed others the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations. Logan, I'm going to pick on you one more time. Is that okay? We had a wonderful conversation, me and Logan, last night. This kid, the sky's the limit for you, buddy. He shared with me some of the things that God's called him to do in the Catholic school that he's attending. And sharing his faith with others is one of them. And standing up for against theological fallacies is another. Wow. Awesome. Disciple making. His own teacher said he sees that leadership quality in Logan. Earlier in the year, I'm going to pick on Hannah now. A little bit. Hannah Corlett was baptized just about a year ago. And seeing where God has taken her and hearing from John and Mars and wow. Disciples making disciples making disciples. And that doesn't mean, you know, sometimes that takes years. You know, for some time, you know, some of the fear that I've had in disciple making is, well, and I was even taught some of this in Bible college, is, well, you got to get to it, man. You know, it's just going to keep, you know, go fast. No, sometimes disciple making and equipping takes literally years. Right, parents? It really does. But boy, all the blood, the sweat, the tears you pour into people's lives and to see the light go on. Wow. I don't know about you, but I want to see more lights go on at FCBC and become brighter and brighter like lighthouses in the midst of a world that so desperately needs spiritual lighthouses. P people willing to walk out in truth and love. What does it say to us following works of service? It says, until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, becoming mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Wow. Attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. The fullness. God doesn't want us to be half full Christians. He wants us to be full. St. Ignatius has this quote, the glory of God is man fully alive. Fully alive. Do you want to be fully alive? Or just half alive? To be a disciple of Jesus Christ, we need to be fully alive. Willing to press into the presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to have a hunger for the Word of God that is insatiable, that is unsatisfiable, because this book, folks, is something that will feed your soul till your last breath, and you still won't be full. And there are people in our world today that are hungry for this. But if we are only half alive, we need to be aware that that hunger needs to be satisfied in us, and not just from me on Sunday mornings, and not just from your small group leader on Wednesdays or Mondays or whenever it is, but every day, every waking moment. Not that we are reading the Word every single second, but we can be meditating on something every single minute of every day. That we are to be praying, we are to be talking to Him, asking Him, you know, how do we walk out in our businesses, in our farms, in our nursing, and in our doctoring, and in our running our businesses that shows Jesus Christ? That there's something different about us, that there's that light, and it shines out. We need to speak the truth in love to one another. We need to be willing to open up ourselves. And sometimes that's really hard. And that's part of discipleship. Speaking into each other's life. Sometimes we can be too loving and not very truthful. Sometimes we can be too truthful and not very loving. I give you this illustration. Love and truth can be like sodium and chloride. Any chemists out there? Pretty basic chemistry. Listen. Love without truth is flighty, sometimes blind, willing to combine various doctrines. On the other hand, truth by itself can be offensive, sometimes even poisonous. Spoken without love, it can turn people away from the gospel. When truth and love are combined in an individual or a church, however, then we have what Jesus called the salt of the earth, sodium chloride, table salt, a seasoning, something special, something that we can sink our teeth into, and man, maybe some of you want to have some good steak right after church today, some good meat. Now your mind is gone. No, I'm just kidding. Oh, pastor said steak. Salt of the earth. Sodium chloride itself. Find the definition. Basically, helps maintain the proper amount of sodium chloride, helps maintain blood pressure, and maintain the right balance of fluid. Right? Maintain blood pressure and the right balance of fluid. Think of truth and love, keeping the right balance of Christ, who is truth, Christ, who is love, in our lives. Axios, living a life of balance. Axios, living a life of balance. Truth and love. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. So the church, we see St. Ignatius quote again, the glory of God is man fully alive. I thought about that a little bit this week, and it's still a work in progress. Here's what I think, or I'm hoping and sensing what the Holy Spirit thinks. The church speaking the truth in love is to God's glory. Is to God's glory. And that we grow in discipling as we speak the truth in love. Truth holds together. Truth holds us together. Love holds us together. Truth needs love. Truth without love, again, is just offensive, can be legalistic. Love without truth can be flighty and can lead to wrong teaching. I think sometimes we, as I said before, we try to put that truth out there, and the truth is very important, to love God, to love His Word. But then if we don't measure up, if we don't have all that knowledge of His Word, and maybe we find this new discipleship method or something, and we try it out, and we just jump right in. Reminds me of sometimes when I've tried to do working out at the gym really badly. You go to the gym, and I have this, especially in the new year, right? You have this New Year's resolution to get fit and to get more healthy, and you go to the gym and you put on three or four barbells, and you just get underneath there, and then you don't have a spotter. Us men, you can relate with that a little bit. You just want to give it everything. And then you do that for about 2 or 3 days, or maybe even just once, and say, forget it. I don't want to do this. This makes me sore. I can't get out of bed the next day. What's this crazy weightlifting and this whole getting healthy thing? Anyway, it's just a craze. And the same thing can be true about spiritual disciplines. I've been there, bought the t-shirt, and probably many of you have too. I'm just going to read the Bible, and I'm going to put it in my head, and I'm just going to fill my head so with so much stuff. Maybe I'm offending some people here. So what? You know what? It's good to memorize and put the Word of God in your mind. But if you're measuring it up and comparing yourself to others and how great you are in the Bible knowledge category, the motivation of your discipleship is for your own glory and not for Jesus. And so we need to just be aware of, why are we learning God's Word? Why do we want to become more like Jesus? Why do we want to become fully alive? Why? Well, why do we want to feel better about our physical bodies? That we can do different things and not have to be out of breath half the time. Well, we want to be in shape. We want to be physically alive so that, for some of us, we want to be able to keep up with our kids and our grandkids. So we're not just like, well, and the same is true. We don't want to run so far behind Jesus that we just forget. And on behalf of the church leadership, on behalf of maybe church leaders in general, I just want to ask for your forgiveness. Today, if we have been Pharisaical in some way, putting on too much of a load, as Jesus said to those Pharisees. You chase after them to make one disciple that's in your image, and you put on a yoke that you yourself do not bear. That's what Jesus said. So I apologize, and I ask for your forgiveness. But at the same time, we need to encourage those that are coming up, those of all ages, to speak the truth in love. If you see somebody struggling, help them, the Bible says. Come alongside them. Bear one another's burdens, Galatians says, so that we will fulfill the law of Christ. Come alongside. Encourage them. Maybe some of us are just discouraged this morning. Because we have come alongside. We've tried to disciple. You say, Pastor, I've tried and I've tried and I've spoken the truth in love. I've done these things, but people just, you know, they take 10 steps forward, 9 steps back, and I just feel like throwing my hands up in the air and saying, forget about you. You're never going to grow in Christ. Don't get there, please. More problem-centered than potential-centered thinking. Continue to press in to Christ. Verse 16 says this, from him the whole body, joined together and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Keep working. Don't become weary in well-doing. We support each other. We need each other. Yes, we need healthy boundaries. Sometimes there's people who, yeah, we just can't. We try, and we try, and we try. And I encourage you to ask God in these days, in this new year, how do you want me to speak truth? How do you want me to speak love? And two following questions, how do you want me to live truth? How do you want me to live love? How? Ask that of him. He'll help you with that. And even a third set of questions, just to encourage us. How can I grow in truth? How can I grow in love? If you're here today and you've made a commitment physically and you've broken it already, or if you've made a commitment spiritually to grow in Christ and you've kind of fallen short on that already in this new year, don't be discouraged. I want to pray for you and encourage you today that this year is going to be still a great year spiritually for each and every one of us to grow. And that just ask these simple questions of God. How can I grow in truth? How can I grow in love? He'll help. And don't try to take it all on at once. If you're a doer, if you're a person who just, you know, I have to be doing something, just take things in bite-sized pieces. Put on a little bit of weight and then lift it. Pace yourself. Balance. Axios. A balanced life. Because each and every one of us here have a calling on our lives to walk out in the areas of influence that I don't have, but you have. God's placed you where you are for a reason. Church, the time is getting late spiritually. Time is of the essence. We're going to read in the next few weeks that we need to wake up. It says, wake up, O sleeper, in chapter 5, verse 14. Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. We need to make the most of every opportunity and ask God to help us with that. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for the opportunity that Logan has taken once again today, and thank you for his family that are here today that love you, and I pray that your love would just continue to grow in Logan's family. I thank you for the opportunity to be here today. I pray for every person, each and every one of us, that we would grow in the hunger for more of you, that we would, if we were feeling discouraged, if we were feeling distracted, feeling down, today that your arms of love would empower and encourage us. That your truth would embolden us, and that you accept us just as we are. And Father, I pray that you help us each and every day to examine our motives. Why do we want to learn more about you? Why do we want to share our faith? Help us to examine our motives, to know that we are to walk out your love and your truth, so that a watching world may wake up to the reality of who you are. Help us to wake up to that reality that your glory is man fully alive. And you have come to give us life and life to the full. Father, I pray for every soul, every one of our souls, and every one of our minds right now, that I'm sure there are all areas of our lives that is not fully alive. Maybe some minds right now are just kind of distracted, thinking about lunch, thinking about their week, thinking about the problems that they're facing, they're working through. Father, those are all legitimate things. Father, I pray that there would be a desire for us to become more fully alive, to speak the truth in love, to grow up into the head that is you, Jesus, to see your fullness on display. So I pray for my brothers and my sisters here today, that you, O Holy Spirit, would reveal the things that you have reminded us, that you have taught us. Reveal those things to us. Remind us of the truths you've taught us. Help us to walk out those truths and to speak them to one another when we need to, but to speak them in love, Father. Sometimes we can be right but wrong at the top of our voice. Father, help us to just examine how we interact with different people on a daily basis, and that people would see us in this community as people walking out in truth and love for the sake of a church and a world that so desperately needs you. We commit it all to you, Lord. I pray that we would leave this place a little more full, a little more balanced than when we came in. In Jesus' name.